Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In the Now podcast channel. A lot going on around the world and here in the U.S., so joining us on this Friday morning to bring us up to speed on a variety of topics, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, thank you for dropping by as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back with you.
So a lot to cover, though perhaps we can begin with these developments out of the Middle East. This began roughly 12 to 13 hours ago, where Israel implemented targeted strikes against Iran. Very fluid situation. Headlines are coming in very quickly. And just for some context, we are recording this on Friday morning, June 13th. So, Shane, can you bring us up to speed in terms of what has taken place, how this may all progress from here, and the reaction thus far from the Trump administration?
Yeah, obviously a very important development. You know, Israel's strike on Iran, you know, may just be the beginning. You know, Iran, Israel has kind of indicated that there could be more to come here. These strikes as of now look to appear to have killed many senior leaders in Iran and also some scientists who are key to the development of Iran's nuclear program. Additionally, the strikes appear to have also targeted some of these nuclear facilities. You know, as Israel became increasingly concerned that Iran was only months away from developing multiple nuclear bombs, they felt that it was critical for them to act. And I think, you know, we will see a reaction from Iran. Israel is preparing themselves for retaliation. You're seeing the President Trump in the White House try to encourage Iran to de-escalate, and it's time to sit down and make a deal on their nuclear program. You know, I don't think that will happen, but, you know, you can't leave that option out. I think it'll be very interesting to follow how the Iranian people themselves react. You know, will they either, you know, stand behind the current Iranian government, or will this lead to some dissent within the country against the Iranian regime and try and oust them? I think that would be wishful thinking, but it is a possible possibility. So definitely we're going to see some developments, I think, over the next few days in Iran and the Middle East at large.
Well, Shane, thank you for bringing us up to speed as to where we stand as of this morning. And as you mentioned, we'll continue to monitor these developments very closely. If we do come back stateside over the past few weeks, we have been talking a lot about the progression of the One Big Beautiful Bill in Congress. Now, the U.S. Senate is expected shortly to unveil their revisions to the legislation. Any indication as to what components will face revision or adjustment?
Yeah, so we've seen actually some pieces already put out, but to your point, the main piece comes from the Senate Finance Committee, which has jurisdiction over Medicaid, taxes, Medicare, which was not in the House bill, but could end up being in the Senate bill. So the Senate Finance Committee, we're waiting on their product. There are, you know, kind of rumors swirling in D.C. that we could see that as early as today, I think Monday or Tuesday at the very least, as the Senate is really pushing forward to try and get this done swiftly. If we see that product, you know, in the coming days, the goal would be to finish up work on the stablecoin legislation next week so that the Senate could then pivot to this the week of June 23rd. With, again, the goal being to get this to President Trump's desk by the 4th of July. So this is going to be a very fast-paced 2-plus weeks in front of us with a lot of developments. And, you know, with a bill this big, you know, it takes a while to digest. So I think once we see it, you know, we're going to be, you know, trying to digest it. However, two things. One, it's going to be so big that it takes a while to fully grasp everything. But two, that week of the 23rd, I think there'll be a manager's amendment that also changes some of the details. So even what we see in the coming days is not final. So it's kind of a fluid situation, but the train is moving along, and we should expect some big developments probably over the next 2-3 weeks.
Well, Shane, thank you for the progress report there on the One Big Beautiful Bill, and we shall see what the next few weeks will deliver. If we turn to U.S. trade policy, heading into this week, there was a lot of anticipation over U.S. and Chinese trade talks in London, England. These began on Monday, then extended into Tuesday, and we did receive some clarity as the week progressed. So heading into these talks, Shane, what were the focuses and what was the ultimate outcome?
Yeah, I think, you know, some level of de-escalation occurred, and that was the goal to, you know, as we've talked about in previous years, you're not going to fully de-escalate in a situation like this in one simple meeting. So I think these negotiations with China yielded a limited and temporary truce where the U.S. gains access to critical minerals, which, you know, as we've talked about before, are extremely important to various technology products, including defense products, and in exchange for some modest lifting of U.S. export controls on China. So there was no movement on tariff levels, so more to come, but, you know, this is a kind of a baby step, if you will, on the progression of, you know, what will probably be some more impactful talks, including President Trump and President Xi of China, probably later this year.
Well, thank you, Shane, for the update there on U.S. trade policy. So if we once again turn back stateside, we have been monitoring ongoing unrest in Los Angeles in recent days, and this has spread in some cases to other major cities across the U.S. The federal government has now gotten involved with response. So can you provide us with a bit of background in terms of what triggered this unrest, what the scope of the federal response consists of, including any coordination with state and local agencies?
Right. You know, the President Trump's administration is very forward leaning into some of its immigration policies. And part of that is, you know, not only, you know, doing what actually some previous administrations have done with respect to deportations, but being more vocal about it. And, you know, that has stirred the emotion of some who are looking to protect those undocumented workers. And so some of these raids that were happening in California really stirred up a lot of emotion, and you saw protests, and those protests grew. And as they grew, you know, the administration came in to quell those protests, and we're a little bit more forceful than we've seen in the past. You know, I think President Trump has some leeway to send in National Guard and Marines. Traditionally, you'd probably send in more federal law enforcement agencies, like the U.S. Marshals. So this is a little bit harder line of a stance. And so you see escalating tensions. And also not just on the ground, but between, you know, Governor Newsom of California and President Trump. So, you know, unfortunately, I think those escalation of tensions is continuing. And so I don't know what the off ramp is at this time. So we're going to see more develop on this. And, you know, keep in mind that immigration is a very important issue to President Trump. So, you know, this is not something that, by and large, is going to, you know, subside during his presidency. We'll see continued actions probably throughout the remainder of his presidency.
Well, Shane, as I said at the start, a lot going on across the world as well as here in the U.S. So thank you again for dropping by on this Friday morning to keep our listeners, our clients up to speed on a range of timely topics, and do look forward to continuing our conversation soon. In the meantime, do wish you a nice weekend ahead.
Thank you. Have yourself a great weekend, Dan. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. And as always, I do like to point out to you, our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, that you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication, which can now be found up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.